court will proceed to the second case of the day, National Casualty v. White Mountains Reinsurance. Mr. Mason.
Good morning. May it please the court. This appeal arises out of a declaratory judgment action regarding coverage under only one law enforcement liability policy that was issued by Imperial Casualty and Indemnity Company. My client, referred to as White Mountains in the record before this court, is the successor in interest to Imperial Casualty Indemnity Company. The White Mountains policy, as it is also referred to in the record, was only in effect for 1 year. This 1 year period was May 25, 1986 through May 25, 1987. There are two principal issues for this court to address today. The first is whether Edgar County has coverage under the White Mountains policy for the underlying Steidel and Whitlock lawsuits. And secondly, whether White Mountains must reimburse National Casualty Scottsdale for the expenses and sums that they advanced and paid in defense of the state of Illinois attorney, Michael McFatridge, and Edgar County itself. White Mountains respectfully requests that this court reverse the decisions of the district court. The key to determining whether or not coverage exists under the White Mountains policy has effectively been addressed by this court already. This court was faced with, in the National Casualty versus McFatridge decision, which we have labeled McFatridge 1 for simplicity's sake, where this court found there was no coverage, albeit under the National Casualty policy. But as White Mountains has submitted to this court and we argued to you today, there is no fundamental or significant difference or distinction that can be drawn when you apply the clear and unambiguous language that is found in the White Mountains policies to the facts of the underlying Steidel and Whitlock cases. What this court did, and correctly did, in McFatridge 1 was determine that state's attorney's McFatridge's actions arose out of an operation of law, not through any particular wrongful act. And it's unmistakably clear that in order for coverage to apply under the White Mountains policy, you need a wrongful act. That wrongful act is clearly defined in the policy. This is not a situation, as asserted by the appellees here, that extrinsic evidence would apply. You do not need, this court does not need any extrinsic evidence whatsoever to determine the meaning and application of the policy when you have a clear definition of what a wrongful act is and the insuring agreement itself.
Isn't the difference, though, from McFatridge 1, the policy in that case, in this case, that in that case it had to be a wrongful act of an insured, whereas in this case there's no similar requirement in the policy?
Ultimately, Judge, there is a distinction without any difference as you apply the underlying facts to the White Mountains policies. Specifically, when you're looking here, there is no distinction between occurrence, which has been asserted by the appellees here, and wrongful act as you would apply it to what actually the allegations are against McFatridge and the County of Edgar, Illinois, in the underlying actions. It makes no difference whether you use the word occurrence or you use the word wrongful act. You still have to have a trigger of coverage. In fact, something still must occur in order for coverage to be triggered. Whether that something is an occurrence or a wrongful act really is of no significance when this court revisits what it did correctly in McFatridge 1. It's important to note that Edgar County here is not being sued for its own actions. It's being sued for its own liability that arises out of Michael McFatridge's activities, that this court has already determined arise out of an operation of law and not a wrongful act. So when the insuring agreement of the White Mountains policy is clear and unequivocal in its coverage grant that you must have a wrongful act during the policy period, you cannot have any coverage. And as such, it is White Mountains' position that the district court has committed error. Much is said in the papers, Your Honors, about the who is an insured clause in the White Mountains policy. And we look to the only operative part that really matters, and that's Clause C. Clause C, we really seem to go down a slippery slope of semantical games and what my opponents are advocating. And I'd really like to assure Your Honors that you can look at this more directly and more succinctly, because if you take a different path, such as the last antecedent rule advocated by National Casualty, that you run down a slippery slope that really leads to an absurd result, which this court cannot do in a coverage case. The state of Illinois, for purposes of this appeal, should be considered the political subdivision in which Edgar County is located. And the state of Illinois, though, is not a named party in either the Steidl of Whitlock lawsuit. So for sake of consistency, Your Honors, there can only be one named insured contemplated under the White Mountains policy. Now, the proper named insured for Clause C, then, must be the Edgar County Sheriff's Department.
Why can there only be one named insured? The policy here names both the Sheriff's Department and Edgar County. I don't understand.
Your Honor, specifically because when you look at it from the perspective of, say, Edgar County seeking coverage on the White Mountains policy, you have to look at it from how Clause C operates. And when you see how Clause C operates, you can see that you must put into place one or the other of an insured that is clearly identified in the policy. And there are only two. We have the Edgar County Sheriff's Department and Edgar County. We don't dispute that they're insured. What we dispute is just because you're an insured doesn't mean there's coverage. And I think that that is a confused point in the opposing briefs. Now, with Edgar County Sheriff's Department as the named insured for Clause C purposes, then when National Casualty advances the argument under the last antecedent rule that an elected or appointed official without that proper modifier, as you find in the provision, which is of the political subdivision of which the named insured is a unit thereof, then you know, you could reach to an absurd result where any elected or appointed official in the state of Illinois would somehow have coverage under this policy. That clearly could not be the purpose of a policy that was issued to only two named insureds, and that's the Edgar County Sheriff's Department and Edgar County. Now, what this court did, and correctly again in McFatridge 1, is it determined that McFatridge, as the state's chief prosecuting official in Edgar County, had a duty arising out of Illinois law. This duty didn't have anything to do with the activities of the Edgar County Sheriff's Department. This court doesn't need to revisit those facts. In fact, as a point of for the record, it's clear that Your Honors will reflect on the fact that when this court in McFatridge 1 decided the underlying matters, it was only dealing with Steidl. Subsequently, as the record points out, the parties that were involved at that time agreed that the court's decision would also apply to Whitlock. Before Your Honors, in the record are, of course, the complaints of Steidl and Whitlock, and there's really no distinction between how those allegations are presented as they relate to the issues on appeal before this court. There's no doubt, though, that even conceding, for argument's sake only, that McFatridge is properly classified as an elected official in Edgar County, it really doesn't cure the problem under Clause C. And why is that? And that's for the significant reason that when you read Clause C, the insured's activities must be respect to the responsibilities to law enforcement. And in McFatridge 1, this court has already determined that what Mr. McFatridge was doing did not arise out of his activities or responsibilities to the Edgar County Sheriff's Department or the law enforcement arm of Edgar County. Hence, again, no coverage. Now, moving on to what National Casualty Scottsdale's position is. They're seeking unjust enrichment, equitable relief. It's not contractual. We don't have an insurance contract, obviously, between two insurance companies. What we have is them coming forward and saying unjust enrichment, that there is somehow a basis in which they have unjustly enriched my client, White Mountains. The concern here is really multiple. First being, obviously, for the reasons asserted and argued in our papers, there's just simply no coverage. So we couldn't have unjustly enriched the other insurer by what it did, which was advance defense costs at, over time in part to Edgar County and to McFatridge. The second, of course, is that they're fulfilling their own legal obligations when they made those payments. And then finally, when you look at unjust enrichment, I think it's important to note that this court has repeatedly held and found that fundamental principles of justice, equity, and good conscience need to be violated in order for there to be enrichment. And I suppose there is one other point, and that is the state of Illinois is primarily liable for Mr. McFatridge's defense costs. This is what's going on now in the before the Illinois Supreme Court in the McFatridge mandamus action, which has been brought against Lisa Madigan. That both parties, or all parties that are presented there, including County of Agger, have conceded that, as they have to in their mandamus action, that the state of Illinois is the ultimate responsibility for paying for the defense costs of Mr. McFatridge.
Is saying they are the ultimate, they have the ultimate responsibility, the same thing as saying they have the primary responsibility? I mean, what in the statute makes the state the initial primary payer as opposed to the backstop to cover gaps that may not be covered by private insurance?
Well, first of all, the statute is completely silent on insurance, if I believe correctly to be the case. Second, when you review the policy itself, our policy, the White Mountains policy, it needs to be excess of any other insurance or any other means in which there would be a defense provided under these circumstances. There is no, in fact, what we have here is White Mountains and National Casualty Scottsdale being in the same position. We're both in the position of we really don't owe coverage at all. And so the remedy for Mr. McFatridge is clearly the state, and he's been seeking that relief for some time. I'm going to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Mr. Raub?
My name is Mike Raub. I'm here on behalf of Edgar County. I'm going to be primarily addressing the coverage issues in which National Casualty and we have a common interest. Mr. Ward, on behalf of National Casualty, is going to be addressing some specific issues that relate to his client primarily. The policy interpreted in McFatridge 2 was considerably different than the policy at issue here. In the first place, the McFatridge 1 determined the policy there only named as insured the Sheriff's Department of Edgar County. Edgar County was named as an additional insured, but only with respect to the activities of the Sheriff's Department. The court correctly noted that in the underlying cases, there is no allegation of wrongdoing to Stider or Whitlock by the Sheriff's Department, and thus the court found there was no coverage for Edgar County under the policy at issue there. Here, Edgar County is specifically named as an insured under the Imperial Casualty Policy. They are typed in as an insured. I think it uses Edgar County Sheriff's Department, ampersand Edgar County, typed in on the policy. There is another significant difference in that the policy interpreted in McFatridge 1 specifically was limited to employees of Edgar County. The court in McFatridge 1 held that Mike McFatridge, in his prosecution of Stider and Whitlock, was an employee of the state and thus not of the county, and there was no coverage. The policy here, the Imperial Casualty Policy, covers elected officials of Edgar County as well as employees of Edgar County. The trial court did find that Edgar County wasn't insured under the policy, but used a kind of complicated analysis, which I think was unnecessary. Both Edgar County and National Casualty have cited to the court cases in which it has been held that when a carrier names someone as an insured by typing it or printing it in the policy, the debate ends. There's no reason to undergo any additional analysis. They were denominated and insured, And if there was any debate whether they should have been an insurer, that should have been taken up when the policy was issued. The fact that Mr. McFatridge was deemed to be an employee of the state of Illinois and prosecuting Cyril Whitlock does not destroy his ability to be also an elected official. The concept of employee and official are different. If the policy had wished to limit language or limit coverage only to employees, it could have done so, but it used the term elected official. As National Casualty pointed out in their brief, at the time this policy was written, the law governing state's attorneys was actually a 1943 Illinois Supreme Court case, which held that state's attorneys were county officials. Now, this was changed in 1990 by a subsequent Supreme Court case, but if you're looking to the contemplation of the parties, and they looked at the state of the law when they wrote this policy, they would have assumed that Mike McFatridge was a county official and not a state official, since the Supreme Court decision did not change until 1990.
Was McFatridge 1 wrong on that point then?
I don't believe that argument was raised, and I believe as far as deciding under that policy, it was probably correct. But again, the court in McFatridge 1 did not have to make the distinction between an employee and an elected official because McFatridge 1's policy did not cover elected officials. So I really don't dispute or argue with that all that greatly, though that issue was not specifically raised in McFatridge 1. There does not seem to be any inconsistency between being a state employee and an elected official. There's also the fact that subsequent to the decision in McFatridge 1, the trial court in the underlying cases essentially narrowed the pleadings and summary judgment proceedings by finding that as of the date arrest warrants were issued against or ordering the arrest of Dylan Whitlock, there's absolute immunity for McFatridge and thus no liability for the county from that point forward. Thus, in the underlying case, McFatridge's only potential liability and thus the county's only potential liability is Mr. McFatridge's role in the pre-arrest investigation phase of the underlying cases. In other words, to the extent he was acting as a prosecutor and had filed proceedings in the criminal court on behalf of the state of Illinois, that's not an issue now. Absolute immunity applies. That was affirmed by this court in mainly because the plaintiffs in the case really didn't contest that ruling. So that's another difference or another reason to take a little closer look at McFatridge 1 because actually the scope of the pleadings, which has to be compared to insurance coverage, has been somewhat modified by subsequent rulings of the trial court. No matter how much White Mountain tries to dance around it, their policy does not contain an occurrence clause.
But he says it talks about acts of wrongdoing, and that's a distinction without a difference. Why is that wrong?
Well, if you look, the policy defines occurrence in the definitions phase, or portion of the policy, also defines wrongful act. If you compare the two, you can see they're nothing close to each other. It is clear the wrongful act definition is much broader than occurrence. The occurrence language is mainly serves to limit insurance coverage to what is generally defined as an accident. And I think the McFatridge 1 correctly held that as the county's duty to perhaps pay a judgment on behalf of McFatridge under Carver versus Sheriff of LaSalle County could not be considered an accident. The policy in this case only requires that there be some sort of causal link between a wrongful, between a duty to pay a judgment or duty to pay damages and a wrongful act. The occurrence requirement is kind of a narrow doorway, an accident requirement that was an impediment in McFatridge 1 that we couldn't get through. But that doorway is gone in this case because of a lack of occurrence requirement in the policy. It's also important to note that the White Mountain policy does not define law enforcement activity. The fact that Mr. McFatridge may have been aiming toward a prosecution under the name of the people of the state of Illinois does not mean he was not engaged in a law enforcement activity. He was involved in the assisting the police with an investigation of a serious double murder. Obviously, to the extent he contributed to that investigation, it has to be law enforcement activity. The fact that he acted, even if he had been acting solely on behalf of the state of Illinois, in terms of the insurance policy, that would have been law enforcement activity, irrespective of what particular hat he wore at the time of his activities. My yellow light's on here. Just a couple of final points. It's important to note that the year following this incident, White Mountains or Imperial Casualty completely changed their policy to eliminate what we believe were the ambiguities, and I believe the court can consider that in making its decision. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Mr. Ward?
May it please the court, counsel, good morning. My name is Mike Ward. I'm present this morning on behalf of National Casualty Company. I will not repeat Mr. Robb's argument that through the Division of Labor, Mr. Robb argued the principal coverage question. I do want to briefly note the impact of the dismissal by White Mountains of Michael McFatrix from this appeal does raise the specter of inconsistent results in the Venerable Doctrine by the U.S. Supreme Court in the Frau case. Although the Frau case is a default judgment case, the principles are the same that the court's concern about inconsistent results. The law of the case in this matter, at least as far as Mr. McFatrix is concerned, is that there's a judgment for him finding coverage under the White Mountains policy. That raises, if this court were to disagree with the district court's conclusions on coverage, there would be inconsistent results. There would be a finding for Mr. McFatrix. It would be the law of the case in the district court concerning coverage, and a contrary decision by this court directing the district court to enter on remand a decision for White Mountains in favor of White Mountains. And this court has recognized the Frau doctrine, the rule in Frau, and I direct the court's attention to the decision in Abedell versus Wisconsin Porcelain Company, where the court expressed a concern that if permitting an appeal to proceed independently would lead to inconsistent results, the appeal should not go forward. So in this terms, that in many ways, the procedural posture that White Mountains has placed this case raises the specter of inconsistent results that the court should guard against. And to the extent that the dismissal of McFatridge from this appeal is a law of a case on remand as to him, that the court should affirm the district court's judgment in order to prevent an inconsistent result. I also want to briefly address the question of unjust enrichment. At page 39 of White Mountains' brief, White Mountains essentially concedes that two of the three elements for unjust enrichment are satisfied in this case. That's a benefit and a detriment. The benefit is the money is paid by National Casualty in defense of McFatridge and Edgar County in the Steidel and Whitlock cases. The detriment is it was the burden, the expense that occurred that White Mountain incurred, or National Casualty incurred in making those payments in defense of Edgar County and McFatridge. As admitted at page 39 of White Mountain's brief, those elements of the unjust enrichment claim are admitted. The only dispute that White Mountains raises as to unjust enrichment is whether or not the retention of the benefit that White Mountains received was unjustly gained.
Why is it White Mountains is the party unjustly enriched and not the state of Illinois?
Your Honor, the Illinois statute with respect to the defense of public officials, the benefit only applies to McFatrick and not to Edgar County. And so there's still a live issue as to the defense of Edgar County in this matter. And so to the extent that National Casualty provided a defense to Edgar County, that remains a live issue in the case. At bottom, National Casualty paid for the defense of McFatrick. Over $200,000, actually close to $1 million total, was expended in the defense of these claims by National Casualty. And so there has been a detriment paid by National Casualty on behalf of both Mr. McFatridge and by Edgar County. The fact that there is a remedy that's available to Mr. McFatridge does not eliminate the detriment that that National Casualty paid on behalf of Edgar County in defending Edgar County in that case, which was an insured of White Mountains.
I'm sorry, did you say that the judgment was paid?
No, the defense costs, Your Honor.
Costs?
Yes, there's no, the defense costs of defense.
I misunderstood you.
I apologize, Your Honor, if I confused you or misspoke. And with respect to the unjust enrichment claim, the only element that's in dispute is whether or not there is, whether White Mountains has retained the benefit of a sum paid on behalf of National Casualty unjustly. And I would direct the Court's decision to the decision of the Northern District of Illinois in Maxim Indemnity Company versus Eclipse Manufacturing Company. In that case, was a similar case decided under equitable contribution principles, which overlap with the unjust enrichment doctrine, that here National Casualty should not be penalized because it did the right thing. There was a question of coverage, and it provided a defense to Mr. McFatridge and Edgar County under a reservation of rights. That's what the law of Illinois requires. To hold that under these facts that National Casualty has no right to recover reimbursement of its defense costs would discourage insurance companies in Illinois from doing the right thing to defend their insureds in questionable cases. In this case, National Casualty afforded its insureds a defense, although there was, as this ultimately decided by this court, there was no coverage. There was a question of coverage, which National Casualty ultimately prevailed, but because of that coverage question, National Casualty provided its insureds a defense under reservation of rights, which is what the law of Illinois requires and encourages insurance companies to do. And to deprive National Casualty of that right of reimbursement of the facts of this case would send a message to carriers that they don't have to do the right thing, would not to defend their insured. And so the law should encourage insurance companies where there is, consistent with Illinois law, to defend their insureds where there's a question of coverage, preserve their rights as Illinois law dictates by reservation of rights in the declaratory judgment action, and not deprive insurance companies of the right of reimbursement. Unless the Court has any further questions, I'll conclude.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ward.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Mason?
As this Court is aware, National Casualty has filed a motion for leave to file supplemental brief. The Court has yet to rule on this, and we were advised by the clerks that all these materials be taken together. We did submit an opposition, and there's some briefing there, and I submit it to you for your consideration. But I want to leave, I do not want to leave on rebutted here this concern of inconsistency or somehow that there would be an effect on Mr. McFatridge. I mean, let's be frank. Mr. McFatridge has settled with my client. Mr. McFatridge is no longer seeking coverage from my client. There is no inconsistency whatsoever that could result from what this court does. Nothing could harm him in any particular way. He has relinquished and released any particular rights through by virtue of settlement against my client for coverage under the White Mountains policy that's at issue in this appeal. Additionally,
is that the criteria by which we judge inconsistency, whether it actually has an adverse impact on one of the parties, or is it a broader concern that a court should not effectively enter judgments that, as an abstract matter, can't be reconciled?
I believe that the concerns of the cases that have been cited are all distinguishable, as we pointed out in our opposition. It goes to the circumstance where there's a non-party. For example, Mr. McFatridge is not here. And let's say Mr. McFatridge, though, was still litigating in the district court his coverage claim against my client. And if this court stepped in and said, well, there's no coverage for Mr. McFatridge, send it back down to Judge Baker and say, reverse, which this court should do, and remand with instructions consistent with its opinion, then that would be causing some inconsistency that would have some significant impact to Mr. McFatridge. But since he's settled, he's no longer a litigant, he's no longer seeking coverage, there is no way that he could be harmed in any way. There is no inconsistency from that matter. I believe it was Judge Easterbrook in a decision, which name escapes me, that discussed at length in one of the decisions, I believe it's been cited here, that the court can't just simply vacate what happens in the district court, that, that it becomes a matter of record, and it needs to stay for history, in the annals of history. But that doesn't bind this court when something is wrong. And here we have something very wrong from the district court. There was a finding of coverage when no finding of coverage should have ever been made. And I talked about that in my opening time. But there's some more on this point about inconsistency that I think that needs to be addressed, and that is, well, what else could Mr. McFatridge be harmed by? What else could cause some inconsistency? Perhaps an inconsistency with Edgar County. And that's the pending McFatridge case against Lisa Madigan. In that instance, there is no inconsistency either, because everyone agrees that the state of Illinois should be the one responsible for Mr. McFatridge's defense costs. I see that my time has elapsed. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court